ETL Echo presents Quarter Life Crisis, an art and fic collaboration.
The Freak Accident in Room 1905.
Written by Egg Bagels Jr. with art by Tiny Q. Way too early Saturday morning. 12 hours until launch.
Order Crookshank's birthday cake. Call Mom and Dad and beg out of tonight's dinner. Pick up anti-nausea potions for my stupid, broken, magical core. I think it's getting worse. I haven't been able to cast a spell in almost a week.
Hermione's heels clicked against the marble floors of the Ministry of Magic, Level 9, echoing through the labyrinthine hallways of the Department of Mysteries. Bright ceiling lights burst on overhead, illuminating vacant stairwells, empty offices, and unattended desks covered in half-finished paperwork, charmed unintelligible to onlookers.
What am I supposed to do when my magic is gone? Will I be able to keep up with my research? I might have to take Mum's advice and get a job as a dentist. Except I can't sit through another evening of Mum and Dad's friends trying to set me up with all their corny dental students. I may be in a dry spell, but I have work to focus on. I'm needed in the LOML, practically day and night. I'm going to the lab on a Saturday before sunrise for Merlin's sake. And try telling a muggle dentist you don't know what your own job is. The last student they set me up with, what was his name? Bertram? Was so awful I may never date again. He wouldn't let it go.
I was really interested in physics in school. Tell me more about the research you've been working on, Hermione.
What if I could, Bertram? What if I could? Look, I may not be allowed to remember the details of my research outside my lab, but I'm certain my work is more interesting than flossing someone else's teeth and complaining about it. And God save me from the hell of mediocre tooth puns. Why was the dentist sent to sensitivity training? Because they hurt their patients' fillings.
Hermione snorted at her own joke.
Okay, that was quite funny. Better than anything Bertram had to offer. If I have to sit through the cavity search joke one more time, I will scream.
Tumbling down the well of dental double entendres, Hermione stopped outside room 1905. The door's black placard greeted her with the letters L-O-M-L printed clearly at the top, followed by three rows of blank space underneath. She plucked her keycard from beneath her blouse and stretched the lanyard to a beige reader over the doorknob. The device emitted a blinding green flash and accepted her credentials with a beep. Block letters appeared on the placard underneath the lab's acronym. Laboratory for the Origins of Magical Life. Hermione's neck and shoulders tingled. The sensation of unlocking the Unspeakable's mental censoring spells felt akin to an involuntary sort of occlumency, as though all her thoughts had been gathered like rubber bands and stretched outside her mind. With the beep of the card reader, they snapped back into place. Dr. Hermione Jean Granger, LOML Director. Images of herself swooped across her eyelids, scribbling arithmetic proofs over a muggle whiteboard, building a massive underground particle collider, searching for the existence of anti-magic. What started as a side project during grad school to restore her magical core, which started decaying after she was tortured by Bellatrix, became her entire field of research. If her theory was correct, manipulating pairs of magic and anti-magic particles could create and destroy magical energy. The possibilities were endless. Halt catastrophic natural disasters, cure incurable illnesses, unlock magical abilities in children born without. Hermione sighed with relief. She never got used to the feeling of not knowing what she knew. Outside her lab, she was aware of four work-related facts. 1, she was employed by the Department of Mysteries. 2, she did research in the field of magical physics. 3, she was on the cusp of a very important breakthrough. And 4, she enjoyed her work immensely. What she conveniently forgot during her off hours. 1, she specifically researched particles she'd named morons. 2, these moron particles, roughly analogous to hadrons in muggle physics, were the keys to the origins of magical life. 3, she had scheduled an experiment this very afternoon that would, in theory, produce the first known anti-magic particles on Earth, thus making today the defining moment of her entire career, not to mention it could potentially save her own magical core. And 4. Despite all her manifold professional and personal accomplishments, the primary reason she looked forward to coming to work was Draco Malfoy, LOML, maintenance officer. The memories in her mind expanded. For every vision of building the magical particle collider, Draco was in the background, cleaning up after her, rebalancing the lab equipment, using his magic to supplement hers when she couldn't summon a quill. For every whiteboard she fell asleep next to at 3 a.m., he was there an hour later, bringing her coffee with 2 shots of espresso and scones slathered in clotted cream, so when she woke, she'd be ready to start all over again. For every remembered dream, hope, and aspiration, Draco Malfoy was there, unassuming, undemanding, unwavering. Hermione's hand paused on the door handle. She took a deep, steadying breath.
It's 4:30 a.m. He won't be in yet. You'll have a few moments to yourself, without being distracted by his beautiful, perfect...
Morning, Granger. Fancy seeing you here at this hour.
Bum.
Hermione rolled her shoulders with as much dignity as she could and strode inside.
I thought we talked about you not getting to work before the morning owls. On the weekend, no less.
I prefer the late and early shifts. It's easier.
His face clouded for a moment, as though something heavy weighed him down. But then he brightened.
Besides, today's your launch. I wouldn't leave you to degrease magical deposits by yourself. If you're here, I'm here.
The constant to-do list running through her thoughts threatened to spill over into Draco territory.
How does he make cleaning the lab so dirty? He's wiping that magnet like he's trying to get it off. He's in those horrid trousers again. I want to tear them apart and bite what's underneath. Of course he's wearing the knife holster. Does he need a knife for maintenance? Does thinking it's attractive mean I'm into knife play?
Draco coughed, his polishing rag stuttering on the magical magnet.
Stop looking, Hermione. He always catches you. Do not ogle your co-worker.
Hermione forcibly wrenched her mind away from her fastidious, shapely, knife-wielding colleague and smacked right into the corner of her desk.
Fuck, that hurts.
Hermione glared at the magnet polisher himself.
He's laughing. Does he think I can't see his shoulders shaking? He's moved my desk over a few centimeters again. I hate him. And his bum.
She slid into her chair, feigning grace. She should fire him, or send him to one of the brain labs. Rumor had it, the unspeakables in the brain division could read everyone's thoughts. Draco's secret desk crimes wouldn't stand a chance. Flipping open her work diary, Hermione scanned the items she'd jotted down yesterday for her pre-launch prep.
Pick up hazmat suit from the Unspeakable's dry cleaners and recalibrate knobs on the Big Moron Collider. Do not think about knobs when in close proximity to Draco's trousers.
Draco coughed again.
Draco? Is he ill? Desk crimes or no, I can't do this launch without him. But he can't know I need him, or the gravitational pull of his supermassive ego will unbalance all the equipment.
Are you ill? Maybe you should go home. I wouldn't want your weakness to jeopardize the launch.
There. No hint at all I want to do very bad, bitey things to his bum.
Draco scrubbed his face with his hands.
I'm fine, Granger, he said, voice tight. You just focus on, whatever it is you're focused on.
Why is he smirking? I hate it when he smirks. His stupid dimple ruins my day. Today's launch is serious. He isn't cleared to know the details of our research. But surely he realizes this isn't a smirking matter. Or antimatter. Not a smirking antimatter.
Hermione chuckled to herself, the quick puffs of her laugh duetting with a deeper rumble from Draco's direction.
Is he still laughing about moving my desk? It wasn't funny. Not as good as my antimatter joke.
She jotted her antimatter bon mot in the margins of her diary, then frowned. Due to the Department of Mystery's array of censoring spells, no one could read her notes, not even Draco, who only had clearance to enter the lab and maintain it. He probably perceived the lab and all its devices in the same fuzzy, unintelligible way she perceived her door's placard before the keycard reader granted her access every morning. It was a lonely existence,
being unable to share a huge component of her life with anyone, even herself. As soon as Hermione left her lab after what she hoped would be a successful launch, she'd forget all about her antimatter quip. She'd forget the results of her launch, the existence of magic and antimagic particles, and the search for the origins of magical life. And if her launch failed, she'd just be Hermione Granger, pathetic, unspeakable, with a degraded magical core, doomed to conduct theoretical research she couldn't remember, all alone for the rest of her life. She'd forget all about the man who got to her lab before she did and stayed late after, who played practical jokes with her furniture, yet cleaned without question, who supported her work in a way no person had before. Her research had the potential to change the magical world. But sometimes Hermione was selfish enough to question if all the forgetting was worth it. She wondered, not for the first time, if she was too old to apply for dental school. Saturday afternoon, 10 minutes until launch. From her vantage point in the triple-reinforced, 360-degree glass observation hub hanging at the center of the brightly lit cavern that formed the lab for the origins of magical life, Hermione spun slowly on her heel. If drunk enough, Hermione would agree she was terrible at naming things. But her lab, the LOML, it truly was the love of her life.
And only one person has been with me every step of the way. Who knew Draco Malfoy would turn out to be handy with a screwdriver?
Did Hermione want more from him beyond the lab? Once, maybe. But if something could be real between them, he had to be the one to instigate. As a maintenance officer, he wasn't bound by the unspeakable mental censoring spells. When she left work, he was nothing more to her than a former bully. But when he left, he could remember everything. At any point, he could have asked.
But he never will.
Hermione stuffed her trembling hands in the pockets of her lab coat. She couldn't think about Draco. She had a launch, well, to launch.
If it works, maybe the Department of Mysteries will allow me to declassify my research. I'll be able to recruit for my lab, use these particles to help people, and finally live my life. And Draco?
Hermione scooped a generous portion of reaction catalyst from the cauldron on her prep table into a ceramic cylinder and inserted it into a pneumatic tube. She flipped a cap over a glowing red button, hovered her thumb over the trigger, and closed her eyes.
On three, Hermione. One, two.
Before she could talk herself out of it, she smashed her thumb against the button. A loud warning alarm blared from the speakers.
2 minutes to launch. Draco can keep doing whatever he does when he's not on his knees, welding magical magnets together and showing off his bum. What do I care what he does with his bum outside the LOML?
1 minute, 50 seconds to launch.
The temperature in the observation hub shifted. Static pricked her skin. Hermione almost laughed, like her licentious thoughts had drawn him near. Behind her, she heard the hiss of his ragged breath under the crackle of the launch countdown.
Hi, Draco.
Granger, stop the launch.
You know I can't do that. If we interrupt the reaction, the big moron collider will overheat.
Hermione made a fist and flicked her fingers outward, miming an explosion.
By tomorrow, we'll be responsible for blowing up all of London.
Fuck London. You're coming with me.
Hermione rolled her eyes and swiveled on her chair.
Draco, have a seat. Watch the launch. You won't be able to decipher any of the classified data readings, but you can still celebrate the fruits of your...
Hermione's stomach lurched. Standing before her was not the meticulously clean maintenance worker who had proverbially held her hand, although not literally. No amount of mental censoring could make her forget something like that. Through the most exhausting, yet rewarding, years of her life. The person in front of her was drenched in a thick, reddish-black liquid across his entire body, staining his blue maintenance robes a morose, sticky purple, gelling his blonde hair into orange spikes, where he'd presumably run his hands through it, and dripping from the top of the knife she'd lusted after so unabashedly hours before.
Nope, definitely not into knife play.
1 minute, 25 seconds to launch.
Why are you covered in blood?
I'm fine. Let's go.
She swallowed, amending her question with the specificity of a highly trained scientist.
Why is your knife covered in blood?
Draco looked down at his left hand, as though he'd forgotten the knife entirely.
Do you or do you not have a doctorate, Granger? We don't have time. Shut down your little anti-magic reactor and come with me.
Little? My little reactor? This is my life's work. This is...
Wait, did he just say anti-magic? That's classified.
I did.
1 minute 10 seconds to launch.
Did he just answer my thoughts?
I did. Let's go.
In any other circumstance, Draco's palm reaching toward her upper arm would have been fodder for the whirring tumult of her lechy lab thoughts for weeks to come. In this circumstance, however, Hermione watched, curiously detached, as blue-green tendrils of magical electricity arced between Draco's skin and hers.
I'm sure you'll never forgive me for this, he said. Then he grabbed her.
Saturday afternoon, 8 hours until the destruction of London. The sharp scent of wintergreen burned Hermione's nose, the unmistakable aroma of her beat-up 1983 Vauxhall Cavalier drawing her to consciousness with the efficiency of smelling salts. Her head ached, though the pain was nothing compared to a searing agony in her left arm.
Granger, wake up. Please wake up. Why can't I hear you? Don't be dead. Please don't be dead.
Hermione cracked open an eyelid. She was most certainly in the cav, stretched out awkwardly in the passenger seat. If she was being kidnapped, the kidnapper had forgotten to tie her up. If she was being chauffeured, her chauffeur had foregone any of the comforts of a modern car service, namely the ability to shift gears without, the cav jerked, stalling out. She squinted through the last legs of an afternoon sun at the waves of red-dappled platinum hair covering her driver's head.
Malfoy?
His entire body spun toward her, and the car wobbled amidst a Dopplered chorus of honks and shouts from irate drivers.
Draco Malfoy, driving my car, covered in blood.
She shrugged. It still beats Bertram. Malfoy's eyes narrowed.
Who's Bertram?
A long honk and screeching tires whined to their right.
Learn to drive or get off the road. Bleeding Christ.
Malfoy, if you don't face the road, you'll get us both killed.
So it's back to Malfoy. Does she not remember?
Hermione rubbed her aching temples.
What don't I remember?
Malfoy's eyes met hers in the rearview mirror, a frown drawing his brows together.
Can you hear me?
Of course I can hear you. It's a small car, and you're quite loud.
Hermione scanned the road for clues. Why was he headed toward Swanley?
If you don't tell me where you're taking me, I'll attempt an emergency exit.
Malfoy ran a blood-speckled hand through his crusty hair.
Please don't do that. I've had enough rescues for one day.
Let's try this. Granger, can you hear me now?
Malfoy's voice faded into an indecipherably low hum, like he'd turned down the volume on the wireless. Hermione leaned in closer to try to read his lips, which were...
Not moving.
Sounds like humming, right?
This time his lips did move. Hermione's gaze caught on the muscles in his jaw, the hard peak of his chin, the soft shadow of a dimple that might be coaxed into existence under the right conditions.
You're reading my thoughts, but when I occlude...
He made that same low humming sound again. The occlusion magic felt like a membrane vibrating between his thoughts and hers. It almost tickled, a fly buzzing nearby, just out of sight.
What's going on?
There was an explosion in the LOML. You were conducting a test of your particle collider, but I interrupted the launch. You said if the anti-magic reaction wasn't neutralized in the next several hours, it would level all of London. But don't worry, I'm getting you as far away from the blast zone as this horrible car will take us.
Hermione should be scared or stressed, but instead, she felt calm. Caked on layers of blood notwithstanding, Malfoy's presence soothed her. Being near him felt cozy, familiar.
How do you know all this? I thought you swept chimneys with the floozies up in the Department of Transportation.
Granger, the only floozy I work with is...
Don't finish that sentence.
I'm the maintenance officer for your lab, but I'm also...
Malfoy gripped the gear shift so tight, his knuckles turned white underneath the red.
a spy working for a group of magic-suppressed former Death Eaters known as the Agency. They have associates everywhere. They learned about your research several years ago when you were in graduate school. After I was released from Azkaban, they sent me to work for your lab to steal your particle technology. They want to use your research first to restore their magic, and then, as a weapon, to control the rest of the world with the threat of total magical destruction.
I happen to have...
Malfoy switched back to his mental voice.
Rather, I used to have a special ability that got around the unspeakable censoring spells.
If you could steal my research the whole time, why not reproduce my technology yourself?
The Agency hit a few snags.
And the blood?
An agent went rogue.
You killed the rogue assassin?
Something like that.
Where are you taking me?
To safety.
Hermione folded her arms and scoffed.
You're a kidnapper. That's safe?
You can't develop more poorly named technology if you're dead from exploded anti-magic, he amended.
Why not apparate?
My magic stopped working after your launch.
Hermione flexed her hands. Her own magic surged through her veins, more potent than it had felt in years. She reached for her rarely used wand. In an instant, Malfoy's knife pressed against the skin of her neck.
Easy, Granger.
Hermione gulped.
I thought you wanted me alive.
Malfoy didn't move.
Take me back to my lab.
No way in hell.
I'm not leaving everyone to die. If I made a bomb... How could I have been so careless? What about my parents? Harry? Ron? All of bleeding London?
Hermione shifted forward. The knife bit into her flesh. Malfoy yanked the blade away.
You're insufferable. I can't even hear you right now, and I know you're in your head, worrying about people you've never met.
Malfoy scrubbed a hand over his face.
The lab is in ruins. When I dragged you out, you were already forgetting. How do you plan to fix your particle collider when you can't remember how it works?
I may not remember, but you do.
Thin fibers of a plan started to weave together.
What?
You stole my technology.
I extracted the information, but I don't know how to use it. Not all of us are geniuses.
For a spy, you're a terrible liar. Suddenly I can hear your thoughts, and you don't have magic. Something happened to us in the explosion. Our magic switched, which means you didn't just extract information from me. You heard all my thoughts. You know more about my research than I do.
Hermione faced him with the full force of her conviction.
Teach me. If I can't figure it out in 6 hours, I'll apparate us both to safety.
Good gods. Only you would try to learn a doctorate's worth of knowledge in less time than most people sleep.
Come on, Malfoy. You can't expect me to believe you're this callous. Destroying the world is short-sighted. There must be something in London you want to save. Someone?
Fine, he spat.
He cracked his knuckles and cleared his throat.
In theory, all magical particles have an equivalent yet opposite-charged anti-magical pair. The collision between two particle pairs results in their mutual annihilation, destroying the particles and producing pure magical energy in the form of light or heat.
That's not going to work. Get on the M25. We're going to Hampstead Heath. I've got a much better idea.
Saturday evening, 6 hours until the destruction of London. Hermione's parents' house teemed with the soul-sucking energy only a conglomeration of out-of-town dentists could bring to the otherwise pleasurable event known as dinner. She sensed their presence before she got out of the car, as bits and pieces of enamel-coated thoughts drifted through her mind. Malfoy warned her the constant legitimacy would take its toll. By the way he held himself, running his hands through his hair, rolling his neck and shoulders, she suspected the effects of losing the power were just as draining.
"Follow my lead," she hissed, waving her wand over him before the powder-blue front door swung open.
His blood-speckled figure shimmered with the most thorough cleansing charm she'd managed in at least a year. He winked at her, spotless and cheeky. She clenched her fists to keep from shoving him in the mud puddle by her mother's wilting rosebush.
"Hermione, we thought you weren't coming," her mother shouted in greeting. "Ethan, get out here. It's Hermione. And a boy."
Hermione grimaced. Nebulous thoughts swirled around Janet Granger, her mind just as loud as she was. Something about a pot roast, And would Hermione be willing to eat around the bacon? And was this boy a boy-boy or just a boy?
Sorry for not calling ahead, Mum.
Dr. Granger?
Malfoy thrust his hand forward, taking Hermione's mum's fingers in his and brushing his lips over her knuckles.
Wonderful to finally meet you. And you must be the other Dr. Granger.
Hermione's dad, who'd emerged from behind her mum, received a firm, muggle-acceptable handshake. Ethan Granger frowned at Hermione through his spectacles and jerked a thumb in Malfoy's direction.
Is this why you won't give Bertram a second chance?
Hermione's head pounded as her parents' thoughts jockeyed for her attention. Malfoy, to his credit, kept up the low hum of his occlumency, sparing her from whatever assassiny thoughts he must be thinking. She trained her wand on his back just to be safe. Even with his demonstrated proficiency with the knife, her renewed surge of magic should be enough to keep him from cutting the throats of a houseful of dentists in one murderous swoop. Malfoy laughed, a booming, un-Malfoyish sound.
She won't be seeing Bertram again, not if I have anything to say about it.
Hermione rounded on Malfoy, making the clearest, "What the fuck are you doing?" signal possible with her hands. He gave her a thumbs up and proceeded to tell her parents they'd been dating for a year and were seriously considering buying a timeshare in Leeds. If his goal was to assassinate her happiness, he was doing a wonderful job. Midway through dinner at a table set for 20, Hermione surpassed the stage of regretting her life choices and moved fully into agony and despair. She breathed through a migraine, her mind struggling to process the end of Malfoy's conversation with the dentistry delegation from Perth, simultaneously with the table's communal, unspoken thoughts about indigestion, the weather, and, of course, teeth.
A vacation home for a cat.
Malfoy rubbed his chin.
Crookshanks was jealous of our property investment in Leeds. We got him the knees.
Hermione kicked his chair under the table.
The bee's knees vacation package for his upcoming birthday.
The conversation at the other end of the table was no better.
What did the dentist say to the police officer?
One of the two orthodontists from Stockholm illustrated her joke with sweeping hand gestures.
Guess we have to perform a cavity search.
Let's check your cavities.
We will destroy you. No one is safe.
When was the last time you had a brush with the law?
Hermione groaned. The only thing worse than being subjected to the cavity search joke, for the 100th time, was hearing every person at the table attempt to solve the punchline. Perhaps letting her accidental anti-magic bomb swallow London whole wasn't such a terrible idea after all. Something sharp jabbed the soft flesh around her elbow. Hermione jumped, heart racing. She gripped her wand tighter under the table. Malfoy waved his shrimp fork at her. His face was drawn, a contrast to the boisterous persona he'd adopted all evening. He dropped his occlumency.
Are you okay? You don't look so good.
Hermione sighed and shook her head. Malfoy stood abruptly.
Doctors Granger, other friends, thank you all for allowing Hermione and me to share a meal with you.
He looked at Hermione with raised eyebrows.
Right. We're headed to bed, Hermione agreed. Both of us.
It's a little early, and we were hoping to...
Janet Granger shared a glance with her husband and mimed buttoning her lips.
Never mind. Take your bedroom. You know we love having you.
Hermione kissed both of her parents on the cheek, nearly tripping over her feet to escape the dentist horde. Malfoy followed her up the stairs, his hands shadowing her movement, but never landing home. Saturday night. 4 hours until the destruction of London. Hermione dug through the cupboards in her ensuite, while Malfoy leaned silently against the doorframe. He'd put his occlumency walls back up, and with 2 floors between her and the dinner party, Hermione's migraine began to ebb. After several moments of rummaging, Hermione's fingertips brushed against a little dish at the very back of a long, skinny drawer. She pulled it out and dropped it into Malfoy's outstretched hands.
This is your very special pensieve?
Hermione shrugged.
I built this one myself. You can add hundreds of memories at once, and it will locate key events and detect the supporting memories, linking them together. It was the only way to restore my parents' minds after the war.
Malfoy whistled, long and low.
I could listen to your thoughts for hundreds of years and still never know what to expect from you.
Sit. Hermione pointed to the toilet seat with her wand. He arranged himself delicately over the bowl of the toilet, tilting his face up to hers. The torchlight in the ensuite flickered over his face, flirting with his dimple in teasing flashes.
Just take the memories, Granger. Let's get this savior complex over with.
Hermione dragged the tip of her wand over Malfoy's temple. Her wand produced a tiny, gossamer thread, like a spider's web, Malfoy's memories snagging against it like morning dew. He closed his eyes, sighing, his cool breath puffing against her lips. Hermione's heart clenched, several questions warring in her mind at once.
So what's it like, lying to everyone about who you really are?
Malfoy's lashes fluttered open, the cool gray of his irises glowing silver under the light from the torch. He traced her features with his gaze, the action so intimate it felt almost like a hand grazing the fine hairs against her cheek.
It's abominable.
Hermione nodded, though she couldn't commiserate. Outside her lab, she made a point to keep everything out in the open. Maybe she behaved differently in the LOML, but she hoped she acted as brash as always, shouting her disappointment and displeasure with Maintenance Officer Malfoy directly to his face. It was odd to discover he'd been such an integral part of her life, on the same day she discovered he would be instrumental to destroying the British magical world. She needed to keep playing to his selfishness, as long as he realized destroying London would destroy something he loved, too. She had a chance to save it. She dipped the strand of his memories into the pensive. He cleared his throat, shifting uncomfortably on the toilet.
You know, you really don't need to look at all those memories. I can probably tell you which ones are relevant.
No need. The modifications I made to the pensive will do the legwork for us.
In spite of herself, Hermione viewed his memories like the most engrossing movie she'd ever seen. As the film, spanning years of her life, advanced in minutes, it was apparent how much she'd weakened since the war. At the beginning of his memories, she'd been bursting with magic. By the end, she looked drawn and thin, her spark all but extinguished.
It's not that bad, Granger.
I thought you couldn't hear what I was thinking.
They lay spread out over her childhood bed, her taking assiduous notes, and him lying on his side, watching intently. He rolled over onto his back, murmuring the names of the glow-in-the-dark constellations she'd affixed to her bedroom ceiling while studying for astronomy sometime between fourth and fifth year.
I can't, but you forget I've heard you for years. I know you.
He stretched his arms overhead and tucked his hands beneath his neck.
You're worried about how much time you have left.
I'm worried about the bomb I accidentally triggered under the City of London. I'm worried that in a few hours it will explode and destroy us all. If you think I'm worried about myself...
He caught her lie with a raised eyebrow, smirking as she deflated.
It's okay to care about yourself, Granger.
How did you deal with this power? Hearing everyone's thoughts. I can barely handle it, and it's only been a few hours. And why do mental voices carry farther than physical ones? I think I just heard my parents negotiate sex, and they're a floor down and a room over. I'm scarred for life.
She flopped on her back, her head near Malfoy's feet.
Want to know the hardest part?
Yes.
He pushed up on his elbows. He examined her the way she examined rare texts. Ravenous. Acquisitive. Borderline desperate.
You, Dr. Granger, tell the worst jokes.
Hermione launched a pillow at him.
Untrue!
Hermione.
He crawled to her, plucking a curl from the mess radiating out from her head.
What?
She replied, breathless.
Hermione.
He hummed her name in that same soothing tone as his occlumency.
What did the archaeologist discover in the ancient dentist's office?
This did sound like the kind of joke Hermione would write.
Archaeology? Ancient digs? Sign her up. What?
Flossels.
Hermione threw her head back and groaned.
I told you it was awful.
He tugged the end of her curl.
That's a Granger original for you, our premier magical physicist, and yet she spends her days concocting terrible dental puns.
I do not!
What did the dentist do to get his girlfriend pregnant? Hermione covered her face with her hands, partly to keep him from seeing her grin at her own joke setup, and partly to avoid falling deeper into his dimple, which, now that she'd elicited it, wouldn't put itself away.
Why are the dentists always men in these jokes?
I don't know, Granger. You wrote this one, too.
Fine, just say the punchline.
He came inside her.
Saturday night, 2 hours until the destruction of London. Granger's body thrashed on the vintage hardwood floors. Bellatrix's Crucio splashed from her wand like liquid fire. Everywhere spell fragments hit Granger's body, blue-green tendrils erupted, arcing outward, lightning bolts in search of a grounding current.
"Watch carefully, Draco!"
Bellatrix drew the knife from the holster at Draco's hip, spun it in her hand, and dropped to her knees over Granger. She carved 1, 2, 3 lines in Granger's forearm. Blood dripped from the wound, sizzling against the jagged edges of the lightning pouring off Granger in the aftershocks of the Crucio. Aunt Bella returned to Draco, wiping the blade of the knife against his cheek. The edge nicked his skin, mixing a thin stream of his own blood with Granger's.
"You could be so much better, nephew! So much better!"
She reholstered his blade and pointed her wand at the motionless figure on the floor.
"Not dead. Please don't be dead. Don't be dead."
"Crucio!"
A jet of blue-green energy spun from Granger into him. The bolt hit him square in the forehead, twisting itself around his skull, the shocking pain worse than anything he'd ever felt. Granger's body tensed, her breaths shallow but finally visible. Heat erupted between them, surging from her into him, as though her magic were burrowing into his bones and weaving itself through his mind.
"I'll never forgive you, Malfoy."
"Granger, is that you?"
She looked up at him, hatred painted across her features.
"I'll never, ever forgive you."
Hermione jolted awake. Her sweat-drenched clothes clung to her skin. Her teeth ached from clenching against remembered pain. She didn't recall falling asleep, only waking up to the same nightmare she had at least once a month. Except this time it wasn't her nightmare, it was his. She stumbled to the ensuite in the dim light of the torch. He was curled up on the floor, his skin glistening with sweat, muscles twitching. Hermione sank to her knees next to him. She held her spasming fingertips above his cheek, where a thin white scar she'd never noticed etched from his temple to his lip, directly through his dimple. Magic thrummed in her fingertips, like hers was calling out to his. Hermione darted back to her bedroom and the pensive she'd left on the edge of the mattress.
"Is it possible? Have we never touched?"
She scanned Malfoy's memories for any moment of contact. A concerned hug, a pat on the shoulder, a high five after completing a section of the particle collider. Nothing. Not once. Apart from slapping him third year, well before Bellatrix inadvertently unlocked something impossible between them, the closest they ever came to touching was last night. Malfoy's fingers tugging on her curl. Not once had they touched, skin to skin, except...
there!
Hermione advanced the pensive, swirling through Malfoy's memories, until she came to a halt in the glass observation hub of the LOML. In the foggy mist of his memory, Hermione stood in her lab coat, hair spiraling in all directions. An alarm blared the countdown.
1 minute, 10 seconds to launch!
Her head tilted to the side. Loud and clear, Hermione's mental voice said,
"Did he just answer my thoughts?"
"I'm sure you'll never forgive me for this," Malfoy said, wrapping a blood-spattered hand around her arm amid a spray of blue-green bolts of magical electricity. The lab exploded.
"No, no, no!"
Hermione spun the pensive backward, touching the surface of dozens of memories at once. Flashes of him on a bed in a shabby flat in Muggle London, his head splitting in agony from the increasingly powerful assault of constant legitimacy. Malfoy meeting with his contact at the agency, a former Death Eater Hermione recognized as one of the Averys. Reading Avery's mind, feeding him false leads, trying to obtain protection from the Department of Mysteries, finding agency spies at every turn, going rogue, protecting the LOML by himself,
reciting every night, "She'll never forgive you. She'll never forgive you."
"Draco!" Hermione clapped a hand over her mouth. Draco shot up from the floor of the ensuite, chest heaving.
"Hermione?"
Wordless, unoccluded thoughts spread over her like warm summer sun. Draco was in love with her. And even worse, Hermione was in love with him.
Saturday night, 1 hour until the destruction of London.
"You're in love with me?"
Draco blinked. "Are you just coming to this conclusion now?"
Hermione threw her arms out to her sides.
"Yes!"
Draco ran his hands through his hair.
"Okay, well then, yes, I am. But you started it."
"I did no such—"
The whistle and twang of a metal object hurtling through the air, lodging into wood, vibrating side to side, and coming to rest, broke whatever train of thought Hermione intended to follow. Instead, she belatedly tracked the path of what appeared to be one half of her mum's kitchen shears, now sunk 2 inches deep into the painted oak of her bedroom windowsill. Her gaze rebounded, settling on the wizened, purplish face of one of the two orthodontists from Stockholm. In the silent aftermath of his attack, Hermione recognized the buzz emanating from somewhere around his vicinity, harsher and much less pleasant than the hum of Draco's occlumency, yet similar all the same. Draco equipped himself with his knife.
"Marlin, is that the knife?"
"Definitely not into knife play now."
His thoughts turning predatory.
"No one touches Granger."
Meanwhile, Hermione found herself unarmed in a duel of kitchen shears and war trauma knives.
"Think, Hermione, think faster than you're currently thinking. Where's your wand?"
"No one touches Hermione."
Hermione whipped her head toward the voice, which, as long as she'd known it, had no qualms about shouting at top volume, regardless of time of day.
"Mum?"
The occluding orthodontist slumped to the floor with a thud, a depressed hypodermic needle protruding from his neck.
"Excellent work, Janet."
Hermione's dad wrapped his arms around her mum, tugging at the ties on her bathrobe.
"Hi, Hermione, Draco. Sorry to wake you."
Hermione felt like her brain was melting. She looked back and forth between her cuddling parents, the probable agency assassin posing as orthodontist snoring on the floor of her childhood bedroom, and Draco, smirking despite having no discernible reason to smirk. Unsure where to begin, Hermione settled on her parents.
"Mum? You just lidocained that guy. Is he even an orthodontist?"
"Hermione," Janet said, tone admonishing in lieu of her usual clamor.
"You didn't think we would let you obliviate us and not do everything in our power to make sure we were never separated from you again? Your dad's gotten really good with hand-to-hand fighting, and I'm somewhat of an expert with the sharps."
Hermione looked at Draco, hoping for moral support, but he merely nodded along with Janet.
"Janet, Ethan, can I call you that? Would you care to apparate with Hermione and I to subterranean Westminster? We have a government building to invade, and it sounds like you could be of assistance."
Sunday, early morning. 30 minutes until the destruction of London. Hermione's first group apparition since she was roughly 18 went off without a hitch. She managed to get her parents and Draco behind the cover of an orange back alley skip, near enough to the Ministry Service entrance Draco visualized in his head, and far enough from the thick cloud of murderous thoughts forming around the agency spies staked out in a line around the primary ministry entrance.
"What's the plan?" "Mum, if you can't use your inside breaking into the ministry voice, I will silence you."
Hermione twirled her wand for effect. Her mum repeated in a stage whisper,
"What's the plan?"
"Draco and I have to disable the anti-magic reactor in my lab. It's several miles below ground, and we only have half an hour to get down there. You'll provide backup. Draco said most of the agency's spies had their magic removed. You should be on equal footing, as long as you brought enough..."
"Sharps?"
"Yes, sharps."
At Ethan's crestfallen expression, Hermione amended.
"And fists. Sharps and fists."
The three Grangers followed Draco through the Ministry Service entrance and summoned a creaky lift. Her parents' thoughts shimmered at the back of her mind, cold with anticipation, yet remarkably little fear. The rest of the building was silent. They stepped onto the arriving lift. Draco pressed the button for level 9.
So, that timeshare in Leeds?
Ethan hooked an elbow over Janet's shoulder and affixed Draco with an appraising stare. The color, what little there was, drained from Draco's face, then flooded to the surface in a bright, rougy wave.
No, sir. There's no timeshare in Leeds.
Didn't think so. And there's no chance you'd become a dentist? Hermione jabbed her father in the ribs.
Could we all promise to not say or think anything for the next several minutes? I have to disassemble my life's work before it destroys millions of people.
Her parents agreed, then immediately considered several more graphic thoughts regarding whether and how their only daughter would be wed to the strange young man, with an unclearly defined profession and no interest in the family business. They exited the lift, their shoes clattering against the marble floors of the Ministry of Magic, Level 9. They wound their way through labyrinthine hallways, past the various divisions. Bright ceiling lights burst on overhead, illuminating empty crevices and dark corners, largely undamaged by the LOML's explosion. Nothing had changed since yesterday, and yet, somehow, everything had. Hermione stationed her parents outside room 1905.
Don't follow us inside. In case we're not able to... We know, darling.
Janet's stage whisper tickled the side of Hermione's neck as she was caught up in her mother's impossibly tight hug. Her dad pinched her cheeks, ruffled her hair, and adjusted the moisture under his spectacles. Draco, in turn, received pats and squeezes from both Doctors Granger. Draco followed Hermione through the lab's entryway, now reduced to rubble and ash, past the desk routinely moved a few millimeters to the right or to the left, depending on the whims of the LOML caretaker, and down the spiral staircase leading past the shattered observation hub and directly into the cavern, littered with fallen boulders and equipment debris. At the center of the cavern, in a massive, multi-kilometer heap of oxidized copper, the big Moron Collider hummed and whined with the increasing pressure of unchecked anti-magic buildup. Hermione stopped at the base of the collider. Draco placed a palm against the lowest metal panel. Wordless anguish spiked his thoughts. Hermione swallowed the lump in her throat.
So, you understand, then? You and I, we are the source of the magic and anti-magic particles. We caused the initial reaction. When you touched me yesterday...
I triggered the bond Aunt Bellatrix unintentionally formed during the war. Yeah, I pieced together as much. Of course, you and I would be diametrically opposed in all things, even the essential building blocks of magical physics.
He rubbed the collider absently, the device just as much his as it was hers.
How do we...
Neutralize the reaction?
She held up a fingertip.
We touch.
He stepped hesitantly forward, his hands hovering over the shapes of her he'd been denied, both by their mutual uncommunicative idiocy and by the unstable particle forces linking them to one another.
And then the day is saved?
Do you love me?
I love you.
Then save the day. Kiss me, Draco.
Sunday, early morning. 0 minutes until the destruction of London. Hermione and Draco's first kiss proceeded in a calm and uneventful fashion. There were no sparks, no arcing blue-green energies, no melodramatic pleas for forgiveness, no staunch refusals thereof. Just a simple brush of lips. He bent slightly at the knees. She stood on tiptoes. The energy sapped from her limbs, but she kept her footing. Hermione would later liken it to the feeling of sprinting to the point of exhaustion, but in the moment, kissing him was finally getting to rest. Draco pulled away first. The back of his hand swiped under his eyes, his jaw clenched and unclenched, his next several breaths stuttered. He looked deflated, years of untouchable grief slowly draining away. Slowly, the warm glow of victory replaced it, gathering in his cheekbones and creasing the corners of his eyes. The dimple she'd grown quite fond of took up its residence at the corner of his lips.
I thought you said we started the reaction.
I did.
Hermione searched her mind for any vestiges of other people's thoughts, for quiet hums of occlumency. She heard nothing.
You said magic and anti-magic particles self-annihilate when they touch.
I did.
Hermione trapped Draco's cheeks between both her hands. Rather than arcing, burning magical energy, all she felt was the warmth of her own desire.
In theory, under the right circumstances, the two colliding, opposite yet equal particles become something new. If my calculations are correct, we are now bonded by pure magical energy.
As if on cue, the broken husk of the Big Moron Collider shut down with a groan, the reactor glowing bright orange as the particles inside it safely destroyed themselves in a chain reaction caused by Draco and Hermione's single, gloriously neutral kiss.
You risked our lives and the salvation of London on a theory.
I had 6 hours and no whiteboard. I did my best.
The distant thrum of boots smacking against marble echoed toward them from the hallway outside the lab.
What does it mean to be bonded by pure magical energy? Can I do something like this?
Draco swished his left finger through the air, pointing at the first row of agency assassins breaching the perimeter of the LOML. The entire squadron stumbled in near unison, slumping to the ground in a dozing heap. Hermione frowned.
How did you do that? Pure magical energy might get you a really big wandless shield or something. Not a 30-person sleeping spell.
That wasn't me, Granger.
Hermione's mom emerged from the doorway, carving herself a path through the pile of slumbering bodies.
Darling, you made it. Your dad and I didn't want to hurt anyone, but these people will absolutely require medical attention.
Draco whispered against Hermione's ear.
Your mom is terrifying. Please don't leave me alone with her.
Over the next several hours, Hermione and Draco cleared the lab, sending the agency assassins to the hospital, restoring as much of the structural integrity of the LOML as possible, and arranging and rearranging recalcitrant office furniture. Before they collapsed in a heap, Draco swept a thumb under the base of Hermione's skull, murmuring words she couldn't make out. Her spine tingled, like catching a spray of cold ocean water on a hot day.
What did you do?
In theory, he mimicked with a grin, that will remove your censoring magic.
She swatted his arms.
We're not supposed to use our superpowers to get away with whatever we want.
Not whatever we want, no, but maybe just this one thing. It's okay to be selfish, Hermione, sometimes. I, selfishly, want you to remember me.
She did, too. Now that she remembered the way his bum looked while he was degreasing magical deposits, it would be a shame to forget.
The energy in our magical bond will decay after a while. Then we'll just be two magicless people.
Good. I've had enough magic to last me a while.
What will we do?
The same things we always do. You'll learn wonderful things. I'll clean up your messes.
I'm not messy.
You're a complete and total slob. Your childhood bedroom was frightful, and if you didn't employ me, your lab would be an unmitigated disaster.
Hermione threw an arm around his waist, dragging him out of the lab and into the Department of Mysteries' main hallway, her freshly minted memories of Draco tagging along.
So you don't want to become a dentist? Carry on the Granger family tradition?
I've worked for the LOML for the best years of my life, and I'm going to keep doing so for as long as she'll let me. If that means dentistry is our next big adventure, then by all means, lead the way.
ETL Echo, echoing tales of enemies to lovers.